So good to see you in worship. I'm going to hand over to Kath, who's going to take us through one or two of the intimations.
Welcome to our service of worship this morning, especially if you are a newcomer or visitor. We celebrate Holy Communion this morning. The communion table is open to all who love the Lord Jesus. Warm Spaces and Sanctuary Cinema. As part of the Warm Spaces initiative, the church is open on Thursday afternoons between 1 p.m. and 5 p.m. until the end of March. Sanctuary Cinema will show a film every week, and this week's film is called A Walk in the Woods. Films start at 2 p.m. Admission is free, and tea, coffee, and biscuits are provided. Joint services with Lime Kilns. The Kirk Session has agreed that there will be two joint services with Lime Kilns Church on Sundays, the 30th of March and the 6th of April. The first will be in Kearney Hill and the second in Lime Kilns. Both services will start at 10:30 a.m. So that is a change of time. Our two worship teams are working on a common theme for these two Sundays. West Fife Village Churches Cluster. Latest news. An update on discussions with our neighbouring congregations has been provided on a separate sheet. That's this one. You were given it this morning. It's available on the website and on Facebook for everyone on Zoom. Lent Discussion Group. Our discussion group is meeting during Lent and is looking at the material provided by Sanctuary First. There will be a meeting on Wednesday this week, and Alistair is leading it. There are also regular meetings in Currus on Monday mornings, so if you want to know any more details, please speak to Derek or me. Cycling Club C4. The first cycle on the official programme for 2025 is Saturday the 22nd of March and will be a local destination starting from the church car park at 10 a.m. Contact Derek for further information. Coffee Mornings 2025. The dates for the first of these are Saturday the 5th of April and the 10th of May. These will run from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. If you can help, please add your name to the list in the vestibule. And finally, Kirk Session. We'll meet for ordinary business on Wednesday the 26th of March at 7 p.m. in church. And there are further intimations on the printed sheet. This can be viewed on Facebook or downloaded from our website if you don't have a copy. And finally, let's look at the order of service for everyone on Zoom.
As we gather in worship, let's begin by singing hymn number 662, a communion hymn, Jesus, Thou Joy of Loving Heart.
Jesus, Thou Joy of Loving Heart.
dedicate our offering. Almighty God, we gather in your presence knowing that we receive from you more than we can ever offer in return. We pray that you will receive our gifts, that you will use what we give in the work of your church and to your glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's worship God now in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, we gather here in worship, seeking your blessing upon us. We look to you, our God and Father, you who created us, you who give and sustain life, you who are full of grace and mercy and ready to embrace us in our humanity, you whose love is infinite and eternal. As we gather here on this Communion Sunday, we remember all that Jesus is for us and all that he invites us to receive at his table. We praise you for love in human form. We praise you for those elements of bread and wine that remind us of love beyond our imagining. And to the Holy Spirit, we offer praise, for it is the Spirit who transforms and renews us, who through power and presence fits our words for the worship of heaven. Almighty God, we know that we are not here because of any right or righteousness. We gather in your presence at your invitation, knowing that you long to make us and remake us as true to the gospel we profess, to the faith that we hold, to the Lord that we serve. So here in your presence, knowing our human weakness, we ask you to hear us as we offer our confession, as we bring to you those things that need your forgiving and healing touch. We rejoice in Jesus, who took our sin to the cross, who took our guilt upon himself. And when we confess and repent, are forgiven not just in this moment, but for all eternity. We thank you for your loving embrace and for all that you call us here to be and to do at our Lord's table. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, receive our praise and worship through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. This is the second Sunday of Lent. Last week we began our Lent studies by looking at the subject of breath. The overall title for the study book is about flourishing, beginning to flourish. Interestingly, today, when I began to look at the service, I realized that it wasn't what I expected. It seemed strange that we would move from something that we need to flourish, breath, to shelter. I thought it might have been something like water, or food, or health, one of those things. But the subject is shelter. The second thing that was a bit of a surprise was that all of the readings in this part of the study come from the Old Testament. In most services, we do read from the Old Testament,
but themes from worship mostly come from the New Testament. Occasionally, the theme may come from the Old Testament, but generally, we don't just have readings from the Old Testament. Having a wee think about that, I realise, of course, for the writers of the New Testament, when they talked about Scripture, they meant what we call the Old Testament. When Jesus talks about God's Word, he often refers to the Law and the Prophets, the Old Testament as we know it. As a kind of aside, I did think about going and looking for a New Testament text that would fit the theme of this service, and there were plenty. But it made me think about the readings from Psalm 27 and Isaiah 58. Before we read these passages, there are some things to note. Psalm 27 is attributed to David. When we read the psalm, we need to remember that there was no temple in Jerusalem. It was King Solomon, David's son, who built the first temple. It was an aspiration of David that he would build a temple to God. But God gave that to Solomon, not to David. The tabernacle was a tent. The dwelling of God was not a grand building. The holy place was to do with the holiness of God, not the grandeur of a building. So when David talks about God's house, it's a tent. The reading from Isaiah is really about religious ritual. One of the readings associated with Easter and often read on Palm Sunday is about Jesus cleansing the temple. And there, a reminder, it is very easy for grand buildings to become the reason for being. That the reason for ritual is gone and the ritual itself becomes reason in itself. And it's very easy for those who serve in grand buildings to believe in rites and rituals. And it's all about the look of the thing. Often Jesus' criticism of religious authority mirrors the words of the prophets. And I suspect as we read this morning from Isaiah, we will hear Jesus' words in the words of Isaiah about the true meaning of what we do when we say we worship. A reminder that God's word does not change. So Alistair's going to read for us now from Psalm 27 and from Isaiah 58.
So let us hear the word of God. First of all then, from Psalm 27, reading from verse 4. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Amen. Amen. From Isaiah 58, reading from verse 6. Is this not Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter. When you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." Amen. And may God bless to us this reading from his holy word.
Hymn 172. Sing for God's glory that colours the dawn of creation. Probably all aware that the origin of holidays comes from holy days, both the word and the practice. In our society, the main holiday of the year, of course, has very little to do with any kind of holy day. From our school days, summer was the big holiday. And in many workplaces, certainly from my youth, the main holiday of the year was the trades fortnight at some point during the summer. But second to these, of course, came Christmas and New Year. Although each year there seems to be less recognition of Christmas as a celebration of Jesus' birth and much more having a big midwinter party. Easter is all but forgotten for its reason. It's more thought of as a spring holiday. The only mention of Easter is because we still talk about Easter eggs. And in our society, we are more likely to hear about the Easter Bunny than about Jesus. Most folk know about Advent as a preparation time for Christmas. But we probably have to go back maybe 50 or 60 years to reach a time when Lent was at least known about. That's to be said that many of those who either asked the question or followed some kind of practice had little idea why they were giving up something for Lent. The question was, what are you giving up for Lent? Not, why are you giving up something for Lent? And the answer in my youth was often to do with things like crisps and chocolate, and for adults, maybe alcohol. And the reason in many minds was either about appreciating these things when we could return to them, or some kind of health benefit from abstinence. And being a small boy at the time, I thought the best idea would be that I would give up any kind of green vegetable for a period of Lent. Didn't go down well. The ritual remained when the reason was forgotten. If you look at diaries today, they will have Shrove Tuesday marked. But if you hear people talking about the day, it's Pancake Day. And the fourth Sunday in Lent, Mothering Sunday. Few people remember that this is about Mother Church and not about maternal parentage. Of course, Lent as a time to fast was much more part of the Roman Catholic and Episcopal Church tradition, and I have to add to this because a couple of folk down in Limekilns told me that it's also in Orthodox, because there was somebody from the Orthodox Church, and also to do with the Coptic Church, because there was somebody whose background was in the Coptic Church. And I have been reminded that the Coptic Church is far older than most of the denominations that we know. But within Presbyterianism, the observation of Lent is not even mentioned in the Westminster Confession of Faith, and in terms of the history of the Church of Scotland, we probably observe Lent more now than we did in the past. We have observed the season of Lent in many different ways over the last few decades. This has usually involved some kind of study booklet and has sometimes involved us in some kind of action or activity. It is good for us to prepare for Easter, to take time to prepare for a celebration that is absolutely central to our Christian faith. In fact, Easter is the celebration for the Christian. Today in worship, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper in communion as we mark the second Sunday of Lent. And that, of course, very much points us toward all that Easter is for us. We cannot avoid that Jesus died for us, that the bread is to represent his body and the wine is there to represent his giving of his lifeblood. We very clearly acknowledge that it is Jesus who invites us to the table, his table. We say that these are the things of God for the people of God. Through Jesus, we are the people of God belonging to the household of God. We are welcomed by God to the Lord's table in the Lord's house. We shelter together. That's the title of that second study, sheltering together. But it's not in a temple of wood and stone and iron and all the other things. God's temple is made out of living stones into a spiritual house where we are to be a holy priesthood, to use the words of the first letter of Peter in the New Testament. In the real temple, the temple that is made out of living stones, Jesus is the cornerstone, the foundation upon which it is built. Or another stone that is mentioned, the capstone, that which holds the whole building together, from whom the building gets its strength. These words from the New Testament echo King David's recognition of holiness as being of God and not the splendour of the building. Tent or temple doesn't matter. It is to be in God's presence that is David's great desire. In the time of Jesus, many who looked to David as the greatest king in Israel's history forgot that David's greatness was his humility before God. When Alistair was reading those words of Isaiah, I'm sure we could hear Jesus' criticism of religious ritual and religious power. Jesus used those words himself. He knew it was very easy to slip into a mindset of thinking that observing certain practices earns God's approval. Or worse, believing that somehow by being part of something grand, we are deserving of God's approval. It is also worth remembering that pride in poverty is very similar to rejoicing in riches. Isaiah points out that fasting as a religious observance does nothing if the person is not living as God requires. Doing what you like and then trying to add something that will please God, so you think, is not the way that we are called to live. And going back to that study, there is no doubt that having a place of shelter is a requirement for life. For us to flourish, we require shelter. And shelter is more than anything a place of safety. We would only need to ask those multitudes who are refugees in the world to know something about the reality of shelter. Jesus, when talking about judgment, and particularly in that passage where he talks about the division between the sheep and the goats, he uses words very similar to those of Isaiah. Those who did these things, he said they were doing them for him. And folks said, well, but when did we do that? When you did it for the least. But of course, Jesus doesn't stop there. Others, we say, when did we fail to do these things? And Jesus' answer was, you failed to serve me when you failed the least. Our righteousness before God is something that Jesus gives us, but that righteousness is meant to be worked out in many practical ways. When we look at our world, when we listen or read or watch the news, there's a lot to be angry about, and that anger is right when it is directed at evil. There is much in our world that we can be angry about. The injustices of the world today. But of course there is a temptation to say, well, it's just too much. Let's shut it out. Our call is to love as much as God loves us. There is no get-out clause that says that we can come in here and we can close the doors and be cosy and safe and away from the world. Today we're going to celebrate how far God will go in his love for humanity. We're going to break bread and say, this is the body of Christ broken for us. And we're going to take the cup and remember what Jesus gave. Communion is about Jesus' absolute love, the absolute love of God for humanity. Communion is about us as God's household and about those charged with taking God's love into a broken world. We are God's living temple. We are meant to be a place that offers shelter, that shares that shelter. We are called not to escape in here, but to be energized by being in here. We have food for the journey as we go out into the world. We have Jesus' words echoing the words of Isaiah. We have words in the New Testament that tell us where the true temple is. The grandeur of the building is not what counts. It's the greatness of God's people. And to be great is to be a servant. And to be the greatest, in Jesus' words, is to be the servant of all. So as we prepare to meet around our Lord's table, as we think about the world, let's offer our prayers for others. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we offer these prayers knowing that your compassion is beyond all that we can measure. We bring to you our hopes and our fears. We bring to you the things that remind us of the good that there is, but we also remember those things that make us disappointed in humanity and in ourselves. We think of a world in need of your loving touch. And as we remember, we know that we are called to reach out in your name. On this Sunday, we remember the 5th anniversary of lockdown in the United Kingdom. 5 years ago, we worshipped for the last time before lockdown in this place. Help us to remember and to pray for all who lost so much and for those who still suffer because of those years, because of that time. Remind us, too, of those whom we celebrated and remembered and valued because of their service. Help us to be a grateful people. As we look out at our world, we cannot but think of those places where there is conflict. The continuing war in Ukraine and those very slow steps toward ceasefire, if it happens. And the real need for a lasting peace, a peace that involves justice and a recognition of wrong. We remember too the conflict in Gaza that could so easily flare up again. We think of the wrong use of authority to deny people energy and aid. We think of those who are held hostage or prisoner and are used as political tools. We think of the desperate need for peace and justice in a place that we call the Holy Land. In the news of this week, the war in Sudan, and particularly we think of the stories of the use of violence against women as a weapon of war, and all that the people have suffered as those who seek power use violence to achieve their ends. And also in Syria, where there was hope that there might be good government and an end to violence, and yet again government troops and militia groups are at war. We know that war is not always about violence. It's sometimes about the use and abuse of power. And we have heard much about what trade wars might bring to this world. And as always happens, it will be the poor and the weak who suffer most. Almighty God, we pray for peace and for justice across this world that you created and gave into our care. We remember the leaders of nations and the difficult decisions that they are called to make, and the need for those decision makers to be servants rather than rulers. And as much as we pray for other nations, so we pray for our own and the difficult decisions that are needed in our own land. We think of that collision between two ships in the North Sea. All that has happened in that event, all that we fear for our environment and particularly the coastline nearby, all those who are called to investigate the cause and the need for care in that place. But we also remember the many people who are our servants day by day, not because we need them in this moment, but because we know that we need them to be there in the moment of crisis. We pray that you will be with all those whom we regard as the emergency services. We pray for those who are the hidden workers who serve us day by day, all but unnoticed. And for your church, we pray. In these difficult times, when difficult decisions are needing to be made, we ask you to guide the leaders of the church and the people of the church. We ask you to guide us in this congregation as part of our cluster of village churches within our presbytery and our nation. We pray for the Church of Scotland and the Church in Scotland, and all the places where your people are and where your people serve. Truly, make us into a living temple that offers shelter in a world of storm and trouble. And now a moment to offer our private and personal prayer. In the silence of this moment, we open our hearts and minds.
to you who knows our deepest thoughts and all of our desires, you who know us better than we know ourselves, we lay before you our prayers for others, the requests that we have made. Give us the faith that we need to wait for your answer in your time and to your glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As we prepare to meet at our Lord's table, we sing Mission Praise number 619, Such Love, Pure as the Whitest Snow. Gather at the table as those who love the Lord Jesus Christ. Here are the gifts of God for the people of God. How can I repay the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the Lord by name. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of his people. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us follow the example of our Lord in word and action. As Jesus gave thanks before the meal, let us also remember and thank God for his mercies to us. Let us pray. It is right to give you thanks and praise, Almighty God, Creator and Lord of all. We know that you are creator of all things, whether they be in heaven or on earth. We know you as the one who is the giver of life. We praise you, who created humanity in your image, who entrusted us with stewardship of the earth. And so it is with sorrow that we confess our failure before you, knowing that we have fallen, but that you sent your Son to reveal your love and to save us from sin and death. For here at this table, we remember that Jesus came as the Saviour of all. As we gather at the table,
We remember that we do so by invitation. We do so because you send your Holy Spirit upon us. We pray that you will bless this bread and wine, that we who eat and drink at this table may share the life of Christ our Lord. Pour out your Spirit upon the whole earth. Bring in your new creation. Gather your church together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. Bring us to that place where we know the unity of Christ, and in this bread and wine, a foretaste of eternal joy. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, all honour and glory are yours forever. And now, in the words that Jesus taught, we say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. We do this in obedience to Christ's example and appointment. On the night of his betrayal, he took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup and said, This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Whenever you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, give us your peace. We receive the bread. Take this and eat it. This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of him. We receive the wine. This cup is the new covenant sealed by Christ's blood, which was shed that the sins of many might be forgiven. Drink from it, all of you. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for all that we have received at our Lord's table. You have given us the true bread of heaven. You have called upon us to drink from the cup of promise. Here we are united in worship with your people on earth and your people in heaven. We are one household in Christ. We pray that strengthened by the fellowship to which we belong and by your Holy Spirit, we may continue Jesus' work in the world, reaching out to those in need. To the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing now the church's one foundation, hymn number 739. Which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.